Okay, good afternoon slash evening, everybody. Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Yud Dalid. We are holding on the bottom of daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, anonymous wife and children, and Lili Nishmas's mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Aleha Shalom. I believe it is also sponsored by Henry Orlinsky. Let me just find it, by Henry Olinsky, Zeich Nishmas, his mother, Rachel Leah Baschaim Asher Cohen, a survivor of Bergen-Belsen and Auschwitz, who lost her family. It built generations of Shomrei Torah mitzvos, with the majority today living in Eretz Yisrael, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first of all, this mission is going to be a transition, because up until this point, we've been discussing things that you're not allowed to do with the Nachri, or business dealings you're not allowed to do with the Nachri, around the time of the Yom Ayyid, either on the Yom Ayyid or within 3 days of the Yom Ayyid. Now we're going to talk about things that you're never allowed to have business dealings with the Nachri, with things that you're never allowed to buy and sell. And the Gemara is just going to go through. The Mishnah is going to mention a bunch of things that are not so clear exactly what it means. So the Gemara is going to go through what the definition of these things are. The Gemara is going to also talk about one of the items on the list is a tarnagol lavan. So the Gemara is going to discuss, are there ever any circumstances where a tarnagol lavan would be mutter to sell to a Nachri, to an Ovid Chavim, not a Nachri, an Ovid Chavim? Then the Mishnah is going to say that the Rav Meir says that even a dekel, it's usher to sell to an Ovid Chavim. So the Gemara is going to lead the Gemara into a discussion about how broad the Isra of Avodah Zarah is, and how it used to be, and how Avram Avinu's Maseches Avodah Zarah had 400 prakim, and things of that nature. And then the next Mishnah, I don't know if we're going to start the next Mishnah today, but the next Mishnah is going to continue to discuss things that you're not allowed to sell to a Nachri. So let's begin. Again, we are holding at the bottom of Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So says the Mishnah. Let me just get it over here. So says the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Elu dvarim asurim limkor lo v'kchavim. The following things cannot be sold to lo v'kchavim ever. Atzruvlin b'noshuach upatotros. For now, we're going to translate that as atzruvlin b'noshuach and patotros. And we're going to have to see what each of those things mean. The Gemara is going to identify that. Ulavona, and also levona, that we know what it means, because that's used with karbanos. So it's used as a part of the ketores, so it's some type of spice. V'tarnagol halavan, and a white tarnagol, because these are the things that the Ovid Chavim are going to use for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, right? That was their common usage of these things. So you have to assume if they're buying these things, they're in the market for Avodah Zarah related items. But Rabbi Yehuda says, "Oh, mutar limkor lo tarnagol lavan beina tarnagolin." That you're allowed to sell them a tarnagol lavan as long as it's among other tarnagolin. That's what the Rashi writes. Lakach Ovid Chavim Yisrael tarnagolim harbe. That if he buys many tarnagolin, mutar limkor beinam tarnagol lavan. I mean, you don't need to weed out all the white tarnagolin when you're selling him, tarnagolim, because obviously if he's buying all different colored tarnagolim of different stripes and different types, so you don't have to be choshish that he's using any of that for Avodah Zarah. The Gemara is going to discuss, yeah, but he might sell the white ones to other people that are going to use it for Avodah Zarah. Okay, we'll get to that when we get to that. Ubizman shu b'fnei atzmo, but when it's alone, you're only selling the white tarnagol, koteas etzbo machrolo. So the trick is, you could sell it to him as long as you know that he's not going to use it for Avodah Zarah. So how do you know he's not going to use it for Avodah Zarah? You're koteas lo etzbo, you cut off one of its toes, and then it becomes a mechusar eiver, and the Nachri is never going to use a mechusar eiver as an Avodah Zarah. If he's shein makri, even chaser levels, they would never take an animal that is chaser, that's missing. They would take bale mum, right? What we define as a mum, Nachrim would have no problem using for their avodah zarah. That was the whole story with Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, was that he advised. When he was insulted, he advised that the Nachri government official send an animal that has that as a karban, and then he made a little mum that Jewish people would consider a mum, but that the Nachri would not consider a mum, because the Nachri would only consider a mechusar eiver to be a mum. So when you mutilate the tarnagol in this way, you're going to ensure that it's not going to be used for avodah zarah. Ushar kala dvarim, and when it comes to anything else other other than the things we just mentioned, stam and mutter, when someone just buys them, then it's okay to sell them. But in Pirush and Asr, but if they say what they're buying it for, then it's going to be Asr. And Rashi points out, the Gemara Mefarshim, we have to see what this means in the Gemara, that Pirush and Asr and stam and mutter, meaning obviously if they say they're using for Avodah Zarah, it's going to be Asr. So what's that about? Then the Gemara, then the Mishnah adds, Rameir Omer af dekel, Tav v'chatzav v'niklas. If you have a very good date palm, a chatzav and a niklas, those are also asur l'mkrolav v'chavim. Those are also things that you're not allowed to sell to an v'chavim. And apparently, Tanna Kama held that you're allowed to sell those three things to an v'chavim, whatever those three things are. So now the Gemara gets to trying to define all of the different items that the Mishnah had mentioned. So my itstrovlin, what are itstrovlin that you're never allowed to sell to an v'chavim? So it says the Gemara, tornisa. It is a tornisa. Tornisa is a certain type of cedar tree that the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah talks about, Rashi says over here, min erez vihi shita k'da amar b'Rosh Hashanah. It's one of the things that listed in Rosh Hashanah. So that's a tornisa. It's a certain type of tree. Uriminhu, but I'll ask you, Stira, that it's shrublin cannot be a tornisa because Hosifu Aleyan says that in addition to the items listed in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to sell to an Ovid Chavim, we added other items, and they are ilachsin, which is a certain type of tree that smells nice. It's strovalin, and it's strovalin muchsasin, and muchsasin ubno shuach, and ubno shuach. But visal fadaitik strovalin tornisa. But if you hold the strovalin is a tornisa, tornisa miisa b'shvias is a tornisa subject to the dinim of shmita, meaning hosifu aleyan. The brisa that we're quoting about hosifu aleyan is not a brisa about avodah zarah. It's a brisa about shmita, that it's listing things that have dinim of shmita that are associated with it. So we're saying that these things are associated with shmita. So we're saying, okay, so if itstrovalin is on the list of shmita-related things, and you're tinying that itstrovalin is tornisa, but tornisa is not subject to dinam of shmita, because how do I know that? Because we change gears here to vahatanya, because we have another brisa that says zehaklal kol sheyesh lo ikar, anything that has roots that means so that it doesn't, you don't have to replant it every year because the roots stay in the ground. Yeshlo Shvias, that's subject to the dinim of Shemitah. V'kol she'en lo ikar, and whatever does not have roots, ein lo shvias, is not subject to the dinim of Shemitah. So a tornisa isn't subject to the dinim of Shemitah because it doesn't, the roots don't stay throughout the entire season. So how can you say that it's strovalin is tornisa if we know that it's strovalin is subject to Shemitah, but tornisa is something that by its definition should not be subject to Shemitah? So says Gemara, Ella Amar Rav Safra. So Rav Safra says, instead, Piri da Arza, that it's the fruit of an eres tree. That's what its shrovalin really is. The chayin kiyasa raven amar blazer piri da arza, that it's the fruit of an eres tree. Okay, so now we've identified what tornisa is. So now the Gemara moves on and says, let's move on to the next item in the Mishnah that we said you're not allowed to sell to the Ovid Chavim. Benos shuach. So amar rabbi bar b'chad amar rabbi Yochanan. What are benos shuach? Te'eni chivrata. They're white figs. That's what benos shuach are. So uptotaros, and then we said in the Mishnah uptotaros, what is that? Amar Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Yochanan bipotro bi. There's a tongue teaser. Bitotro sehen shanu. That it means it's not a separate item. It refers to a stem. So it's saying the strovlin and the benos shuach cannot be sold with their stems on them. So that's what it means. It's not a third item on the list. It's the strovlin and the benos shuach that selling those things is aser, only if they're still attached to their stems, because if they're not still attached to their stems, no self-respecting Ovid Kochavim would use that in the service, in the worship of his Avodah Zarah. Levona, then we said Levona is not allowed to be sold to Ovid Kochavim. Some Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, Rav Yitzchak says in the name of Rav Shimon Lakish, Levona Zaka, this means the Levona Zaka, means the purest and cleanest type of Levona. So it's a very it's a very high quality type of Levona. But Tano So the Brisa taught that all the things you're not allowed to sell, these shavalim and the roshuach and the levona, if you bundle them, you're allowed to sell them. Meaning when you're selling a whole bunch of them, then it's going to be mutter, because obviously if he's buying so much of them, he's not buying it to use for himself, he's buying it to sell to other people. And therefore, you don't have to worry that he's going to use it for Avodah Zarah. V'kama chavila, how much is a bundle that you say, okay, he's obviously buying it wholesale, he's not buying it retail, he's not buying it for himself. So Pirush Rabbi Dibam B'Seir, Rabbi Dibam B'Seir explains, in chavila p'chusa mishlosha manin, that a chavila is always at least 3 mana. A mana is 100 zuz, Rashi points out, so it's a lot. V'leichosh, says the Gemara, are you so sure that if you're selling so much that he's not going to use it for Avodah Zarah, don't you have to be chosh, shil ma'azman ma'azman la'achrini, u'maktari? Meaning, after all, can't he just go sell it to somebody else and that somebody else will use it for Avodah Zarah? Meaning, he's buying a bunch. He's going to sell it one by one to other people, though, and they'll burn it for Avodah Zarah. So he's buying it. So isn't that going to be a problem, that you're violating Lifnei Iver by selling this item for Avodah Zarah, because he's taka going to use it for Avodah Zarah? So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye Alifnei Mipakdinan Alifnei Dilifnei Lo Mipakdinan, that we are commanded about Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michal. We are not commanded about Lifnei Dilifnei, meaning when it's 2 steps removed, then you don't have to worry about Lifnei Iver. So you're going to sell it to someone who's then going to sell it to someone else. That's not called that you're causing anyone to violate an Isra of Avodah Zarah. You're just causing him to cause other people to violate Avodah Zarah. So that's not going to be a problem. The Ritva raises the question that the Gemara is going to say a little bit later on. That it's usher to sell a beged sha'avad bo klayim to a nachri. That if you lost shatness in the beged, that you know that it had shatness in there, but now you can't find where in the beged the shatness is, so you're not able to remove it, you're not allowed to sell that to a nachri, because he may turn around and sell it to Yisrael. So isn't that a case of lifnei dilifnei, that I'm providing the nachri with something that's not a problem for him, right? He's allowed to wear shatnez. He's not allowed to do avodah zarah, but he's allowed to wear shatnez. So I'm selling to him something that's mutter for him, and the whole reason it's going to be aser is because he might turn around and sell it to a Jew. And furthermore, the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim talks about a boat that was carrying wheat, and it was sinking in the river close to Pesach time. So he said, sell it to a guy, because they said you cannot sell it to a guy because of a chashash chimutz, and he may turn around and sell it to a Jew. What do you mean? Isn't that also lifnei dilifnei in that case? So the Ritva writes that when the chashash is that a takala is going to, that the end game is that the takala is going to be for a Jew, then there's nisun midrabanan to cause such a takala in any type of situation. But when the whole concern is lifnei iver for a nachri, so then even though there is lifnei iver for a nachri, the Gemara seems to be saying there's no lifnei dilifnei for a nachri. So if the end customer is going to be a nachri, we're not worried about lifnei dilifnei, even though we would be worried about lifnei iver itself, about the original iser of lifnei iver when it comes to a nachri. So v'tarnagol lavan, we then said that a tarnagol lavan cannot be sold to an ovid chavim. So Amar Rav Yona, Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Zvid, Vika Damasni, and some say that it was Amar Rav Yona, Amar Rav Zera, tarnagol me. Who has, meaning if an ovid chavim comes into town and he starts asking, you know, who has a tarnagol, mutar l'mekalo tarnagol lavan, you're allowed to choose a white tarnagol and sell him a white tarnagol, because he wasn't looking for a white tarnagol, and therefore you could be confident that he's not looking to be ovid avodah zarah. Tarnagol lavan l'mi, but if he starts asking who has a white tarnagol, then also l'mekalo tarnagol lavan, you're not allowed to sell him a white tarnagol, because if you know that that's what he was looking for, then you can rest assured that he's looking to do avodah zarah. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, Tanan, we have a Mishnah, the Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mocher Hulo Tarnagol Lovin Bina Tarnagolin, that you're allowed to sell him a Tarnagol Lovin as long as you're selling him a whole bunch of Tarnagolin, and the Tarnagol Lovin is just one of the Tarnagolin. Well, hey, Chidami, what exactly is the case where Rabbi Yehuda allows you to sell a white Tarnagol Bina Tarnagolin? Elim to come a Tarnagol Lovin to me, Tarnagol Lovin to me. If the guy was coming around town asking, I'm looking for a Tarnagol Lovin, and the Jew says to him, look, I'll sell sell you a tarnagol lavan, but only if you're willing to take it together with a whole bunch of other tarnagolmen. I mean, you'll get what you want, but you're also going to get a whole bunch of other stuff that I'm trying to unload over here. Then afilu b'na tarnagolmen amilot, then that should be asur, even if it's b'na tarnagolmen. He already showed his hand. He knows. He already said exactly what he's looking for. He said that he's looking for tarnagol lavan, so you know that it's going to be for avodah zara. Elulav, the common tarnagol, and the tarnagol, and it must be that the goy came looking only for a regular tarnagol, and you are now selling him a whole bunch of tarnagol, and so you could stick a white one in there, you don't have to worry. And still, according to Rabbi Yehuda, beina tarnagol in b'fnei atzmo lo. But what's Rabbi Yehuda saying? That you're allowed to sell it to him beina tarnagolin. But if a guy comes to town asking for just regular tarnagolin, you're not allowed to sell him just the tarnagol lavan. You still have to be choshish that's going to be used for avodah zara. Well, the Tanakama, and according to the Tanakama, it's even worse. Afilu beina tarnagolin amilo. In the case where the guy just came looking for a tarnagol, you're not even allowed to sell him a tarnagol lavan beina tarnagol, and it's all going to be asir. So isn't this a kasha? What we just said before, that if the guy is asking for a tarnagol stam, that you're allowed to sell him a tarnagol lavan. Over here we say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're only allowed to sell him a tarnagol lavan if it's beina tarnagol. And according to the Tanakhama, even that you're not allowed to do. So Amar Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, nah, it's not such a kasha. The case in the Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda says Beinat Tarnagolin is mutter, but not Beinat Tarnagolin is aser. Kigon Damar Zev Zev. It's where the Obed Chavim came to town, not asking for a Tarnagol stam, nor specifically asking for a Tarnagol lavan. Because if he was specifically asking for a Tarnagol lavan, you wouldn't be allowed to sell him a Tarnagol lavan at all. No, the case must have been that he was asking for everything. He said, "I'd like some white ones and some black Tarnagolim and some red Tarnagol, whatever. I don't know what colors Tarnagolim come in, but whatever, brown Tarnagolim, whatever it might be." So since he said specifically a white and a colored Tarnagol, the Tanakhama says, "You know, I'll let it do it because he did mention white." But Rabbi Yehuda said, "Well, you know, he's not looking for only white, so therefore." Or if it's among the other Tarnagolim, it's going to be Mutter. If it's not among the other Tarnagolim, it's going to be Aser. Tanya Nami Achi, and we know that this is the correct interpretation of our Mishnah, because the Braisa elaborates and says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Ei Masai, when do we say that you're not allowed to sell a white Tarnagol, Bizman Sharma Tarnagol, Ze Lavan? That's when he says, I want this Tarnagol Lavan. Ze always means that you're Mora Be'etzpa, right? That's Mechorli, Rashi says, V'hai ze lavdafka. Over here, ze is lavdafka, because it doesn't really matter that he's being mora be'etzba and that he's pointing to one. Meaning the point is, just if he says tarnagol lavan, that would be enough. So Rashi says, even though ze normally means mora be'etzba, that you're pointing to something, over here it doesn't have to be that you're pointing to something, right? That's what Chazal say, the Moshe Rabbeinu was misnavei b'ze hadavar, mashen kin shar neviim, which they say kamar Hashem, they don't say ze hadavar, because ze is mora be'etzba. And only Moshe Rabbeinu had the aspaklaria mi'ira, had the absolute clarity that it was right in front of him, that he was able to say this, like it was the clarity of Nivua. That's what Zeh always means. That's why Chazal Darshan on the Pasuk, Zeh Keli Van Vehu, right, that Ras Hashiv Chaliyah, Mashal Aroi Yecheskel Bebuzi B'Nivuasa, or Hanaviyim B'Nivuasam, that the Shiv Chaliyah had a higher level of Nivua. How do I know she had a higher level of Nivua? Because she didn't say Keli Van Vehu, she said Zeh. Keli van Vehu, that clarity of Mora Be'etzba, so that's a much higher level, a much higher clarity. So the Gemara over here is saying, it sounds like it's saying that it's when the guy's, that it's only us to sell him white tarnagol when he identifies which white tarnagol he wants by saying tarnagol ze lavan. So Rashi has to quickly point out to us, no, that part is lavdafka. The ze over here is lavdafka. Avalim Omar ze vaze. But if he says he would buy the white one and the colored one, so then mutter, then you're allowed to sell him the white one together with the colored one, because he's not, apparently not being super makbid about a white tarnagol. Afilu Omar tarnagol ze. And even if he says tarnagol zeh, he says this white tarnagol of chavim shasu mishnah if he's novik chavim shasu mishnah lebno, if you know that he's novik chavim who happens to be making a big party, he happens to be making a wedding for his kid, or you know that there's someone ill in his house and that's why he needs this meat mutter, then you're allowed to sell him even a white one. Because we assume that if someone is making a big party, he's making a wedding, he's looking for food to serve at the wedding. That's the way weddings used to be made. You didn't hire a caterer, that you made whatever you could. You got it together and you cooked whatever you could in order to be able to to make the simcha for people. So you assume that he's and if he has a chola b'toch beis, so you assume that's his highest priority right now, taking care of that chola, and that he's not going ahead and using it for avodah zara. So says the Gemara v'hatinan. But wait a second, we have a Mishnah that Ovid Chavim Shasa Mishnah Lebno, that if an Ovid Chavim is making a wedding for his son, Einu Asra Ela Usayom, it's only Asra to do business with him on the day of the wedding and not on the days prior to the wedding. And also only with that guy, but not with other people, as opposed to when you're doing business with Ovdi Chavim before Yom Ayid, then it's all the Ovdi Chavim, and it's 3 days before. But don't you see that even though it's a wedding day of his son, you're not allowed to do business with him? Why are you not allowed to do business with him? Apparently, because the wedding is not his highest priority, he's going to be doing avodah zarah with whatever you do with him. So shouldn't the white tarnagol be the same thing? So that you should be concerned that even on the day that he's making a wedding for his son, that he's going to use that as an avodah zarah. Some Rav Yitzchak bar Mesharshia answers. That bitavzig, that we're talking about not a wedding, it's just a party. So you could sell a white rooster for that, because when it comes to a wedding is often a religious ceremony. But a tavzig is just stama party. So that you could assume he's just buying food and he's not so interested in doing anything religious. So we said that the isser against selling a white tarnagol doesn't apply where he didn't say what color he's looking for. But Tanan, we have a Mishnah, that our Mishnah, Ushar Kol Advarim, that anything else aside from the things that we listed in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to sell to a Nachri, Stamon Mutter. If he did not say, if he was just Stam, he didn't say specifically what he's looking for, it's Mutter, Uperushon Aser. But if he said specifically what he's looking for, it's Aser. So what does that mean? My Stamon, what does it mean? Stam or my Perushon? And what does Perushon mean? Ilem Stamon Dekamer, Chiti Chavarta. If Stamon means where he says that he's looking for white wheat and he doesn't say why he wants white wheat, Perushin to Kamer Lavod Chavim, and Perushin means where he says, oh, by the way, I want to use this for Avodah Zarah, so then Lo Stam Shrich Lemer Dim Zavninan, then you wouldn't need to tell me that you're allowed to sell in the case of Stam, because obviously why wouldn't you be allowed to sell in the case of Stam, Velo Perushin Shrich Lemer Dim Zavninan, and I wouldn't need a mission to tell me that you're not allowed to sell it to him in the case of Perushin, because if he said he's using for Avodah Zarah, you take him at his word, of course it's going to be Aser. Ella, so what does stamen mean? This is all a way of asking Kasha. First, we want to ask Kasha from this line in the Mishnah, but first we need to explain the line. What does it mean, stamen? What does it mean, perushan? Ella, stamen dekamar chiti. Stamen means that he just says that he's looking for wheat. Perushan dekamri chavarta. Perushan says, not what I want to use it for, but specifically what kind of wheat he wants to use. That he says, white wheat. Now, the Mishnah distinguishes between Stam and Perushan, but not, that's only by other things, but not when it came to the four things that are usher to actually sell to a Nachri, so that are actually usher to sell throughout the year. So Mechlal, the Tarnagol, this makes it sound like a Tarnagol, which is on the list of forbidden things to sell, Afilu Stam and Amilo, that even Stam, you're not allowed to sell it to him. So isn't that a Kasha on what we had just said, on what Rav Yonah had taught, that you're not allowed to sell, that the whole issue of selling the Tarnagol Lavan is only if he's looking for a Tarnagol Lavan, but if it's Stam, then you are allowed to sell him a Tarnagol Lavan? So answers Gemara, no. Amri, Li'olam, Stam and Dekamar Chiti Chivarta. Now, really, Stam means he specifies what kind of wheat, that he wants white wheat. And Pirushan to Kamar Lavan Chavim. And when he says Pirushan, he means that he wants to use it for Avod Zara. Uperushan is Tzrichle. What's the Chiddush of either one of these lines? The Chiddush of the law is in the second line, that if he says he wants to use it for Avod Zara, that you're not allowed to sell it to him. Why? Why is that a Chiddush? Salka Taita Chamina, Hai Gavra Lav Lavan Chavim Kabai. I might have thought that he's not really using it for Avodah Zarah, El Meva Gudah Avid Bavod Zchavim, but he's someone who's very attached to his Avodah Zarah, the Samar Kiyechit Hu Gavra Avid Bey, and you know, sometimes when people are very into something, they think Kuli Almanami Aviku, they think everybody else is interested in their interests, right? You speak to people and sometimes they're just very passionate about something, so they assume that you share that passion. kashin with them. So he buys into this avodah zarah so much that he just naturally assumes that the whole world is so interested in this avodah zarah. So he figures, emahachi, let me tell the world that I'm doing this for avodah zarah, ki eich delaisfuli, so that they'll give it to me at a better deal. I'll get a better deal off it because they're going to say, oh, the shame avodah zarah, I'll be willing to do this because we're all so excited about this avodah zarah. So kamash malan, that's why he has to tell me that no, you got to take him at his word. If he says he's using it for avodah zarah, you have to actually assume that he's going to be using it for avodah zarah. It's interesting. Rav Bazman has a tshuva. We have these things that we listed in our Mishnah that you're not allowed to to sell to an Ovid Chavim because you're afraid that he's going to use it for avodah zarah. So Rav Bazman has a tshuva. Let's say you live in a building where there are Nachrim and Jews, and the Nachrim want permission to put a Christmas tree in the lobby of the building. Are you allowed to grant them that right to do that, or is that also encouraging them to do avodah zarah? So Rav Bazman points out that in this Mishnah, all of the things that we're talking about are things that are needed in the actual avodah. They're things that are needed in the actual worship and usage of the avodah zarah. But things that are just symbolic of a holiday that and that have nothing to do with the base of avodah zarah that they would put in their apartments, in their lobbies, in their department stores, in Times Square, whatever, you know, that's clearly not something that is an actual usage of the avodah zarah. And that, you know, obviously it's not, a Jew doesn't buy a Christmas tree, but it would not be a problem to allow them to do such a thing. So by Rav Ashi, so now the Gemara raises, Rav Ashi raises the following shaila. Tarnagol lovin katua lemi. What if the guy comes to town and he says, anyone have a tarnagol with a missing toe? So ma'a limkol a tarnagol lovin shalim. Meaning we said that the easy way out when it comes to selling a tarnagol lovin is just cut off the toe and then it will be a mechus reger, and then you know that he's not going to use it for a korban. What if he came looking for such a tarnagol? So you already know in advance he's not looking for something to use as a tekroves for avodah zarah. Can you then say, can you then sell him a shalim without cutting off the toe? Mia mirami de kamar katua, lav lav l'tzcham kabayi. Do we assume that since he said he's looking for a katua, it's obviously not for avodah zarah? Odilma yirume kamarim. Or maybe he's smarter than we are, and he's you know, he's gaming the system, and he realizes that you know, that he's got to play his cards right. That imtim slo, and therefore he knows that that you're not going to sell him a shalim if he asks for a shalim, but he figures that if he asks for a katua, you won't suspect him of avodah zarah, and then you'll sell him a shalim. So an imtim slo marayu rumi to kamarim. And if you can assume that he was really just doing a harama, then what about the following tarnagol lavan lemi, tarnagol lavan lemi? What if he asks for a tarnagol lavan? And then you say, look, I got this one, and you give him a black rooster, and he takes it. He just, you know, it doesn't seem to have a problem with it. Then you give him a red one, and he takes it. So now that he's taken the other two colors, can you now sell him a white one? Because you see that obviously he's not using it for avodah zarah. So even though he came to town looking and asking for a white one, if he really wanted to use it for avodah zarah, then he went to take in the black one and the red one. So Mira, do we say Kim the Avushakar Vishakal, Edom Vishakal, that since he took the black one and he took the red one, Lavlavos Kavai, obviously doesn't want it for avodah zarah. Or maybe a Rumi Kamarim. Maybe the whole thing is just one big harama, and he really does want to use it for avodah zarah, and he just knows that if he doesn't take the red one and the black one, then you're never going to sell him the one that's the white one. So it says Gemara Teku, the Gemara leaves that question unresolved. So
he was out until
so to Nibaya Dlo Shita. So says the Gemara Vayter, Rameir Omer Af Dekel. Rameir says a Dekel also, even a good date palm and Chatzav and Niklas also cannot be sold to the Chavim. So I'm the Rav Chista Lavimi. Rav Chista says to Avimi, Gemiri Davotzcham Davram Avinu. We have a tradition that the Maseches Avodah Zarah that Avram Avinu had was Dalid Meya Pirki Havyan, that it was 400 prakim in the Maseches Avodah Zarah of Avram Avinu. And Vanan Chamisha Tanan V'Leyadin Mai Karminan. And we only have 5 prakim in our Maseches Avodah Zarah, and we didn't even understand how to tie up the Maseches. Masechta. In the Sefer Kosei Yeshuos, he says that Bizman Avram Avinu, there was so much Avodah Zarah in the world, and all the different nations had their own Avodah Zarahs, and they had their different ways of worshipping the Avodah Zarahs. So part of what you need to do in order to serve on a Sanhedrin, let's say, to know if someone is guilty of violating Avodah Zarah, is to be familiar with all of them. So he had this very long Masechta Avodah Zarah, but nowadays, or at least in the days of the Tanaim, Avodah Zarah was already diminished significantly. So five prakim already covers it. They quote from the Shem Yishmuel that says that there are a lot of things that the Chacham say that if you do it, it's as if you're Ovid Avodah Zarah. So Kalakois is Kilo Ovid Avodah Zarah, or someone who does a mitzvah with Shalol Shem Shemayim, whatever it might be. So Avram Avinu, because of his Madrega, would look into each of those things to the point that he had 400 prakim of Masechta Avodah Zarah, meaning he was able to understand the depth of everything that's akin to Avodah Zarah. So Avodah Zarah itself was no bigger, right? Those are two mahalchim, and what's the story with the 400 prakim of Avodah Zarah? So one mahalch is there was a lot more Avodah Zarah to study, and the other mahalch is no, same amount of Avodah Zarah to study. It's about the things that are similar to, or in some way compared to, Avodah Zarah. Says where my kasha, what did Rav Chista have trouble with in our Mishnah that was hard to understand? The Katani, because it says in the Mishnah, Rav Meir Omer, Af Dekel Tov Chatzav V'Niklas Asulim Karlov V'Chavim, that a Dekel Tov Chatzav V'Niklas, you're not allowed to sell to Nov V'Chavim. So Dekel Tov, a Dekel Tov, who Dulam Zav Ninan, that you're not allowed to sell because he might use it for an Avodah Zarah. But that implies, HaDekel Bish, but if it's a bad Dekel, which would not be used for an Avodah Zarah, Zav Ninan, that you're allowed to sell him. So that's the part that Rav Chista didn't like, that he had trouble with, that he had a kasha on, and he said, this Mishnah is beyond my comprehension. What was beyond his comprehension? Because about Tanan, we have a Mishnah that we're going to learn in a few days from now, that ain mochalem b'mechubel l'karka. You're not allowed to sell to a guy anything that's mechubel l'karka. Trees, vegetables, when they're mechubel l'karka, because the pasuk says lo sechanim, you're not allowed to give them a chaniya b'karka, right? Meaning the words lo sechanim mean three different isurim. It means lo siten lahem chain, that lo siten lamat naschinam, and lo siten lahem chaniya b'karka. So you're not allowed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael or anything that has a din of land in Eretz Yisrael to an Ovid Chavim. So why does the Mishnah have to dafka say a Dekel Tav? Anything that's Mechubar Lekarka would be included in the Yisr. So it could be, Lechora, one could have answered, well, Dekel Tav maybe means after you already detach it from the ground, as opposed to Dekel Bish. So anyway, Armalei, Avimi said to Rav Chista, my Dekel Tav, what does it mean when it says you can't sell a Dekel Tav? Peiros Dekel Tav. It means the fruits of a Dekel Tav, which means it's something that is detached from the ground, but not like I was saying before that you would detach the whole tree from the ground. It means that you've detached the fruits from the ground, and that's only Aser because they are very chashuv and they'll be used for the Avodah Zarah. But it would not run afoul of Lo Sechani. B'cheinam Rav Huna, Peiros Dekel Tav. So that's a way to answer up our Mishnah. So then we said in the Mishnah that chatzav, so what does that mean? Kashpa, that's a certain type of date called kashpa. Rashi, that's what Rashi says. Rashi says, or it might be a certain type of esev, that where Yeshua marked the borders of Eretz Yisrael with. So it's something, some known item called kashpa. So it says more Niklas. We then said Niklas is also maybe on the list of things now let us sell to a Nachri. So Kiyasu Rabdimi, Amar of Chama Bar Yosef, Koryati, that Niklas is a koryati, a certain type of fruit. Amalei Abayli Ravdimi Tanan, that we have in our Mishnah, Niklas, V'lo Yadin and Mahu. It says Niklas, and we don't know what it is. But Ata Amritin, you're going to say that, and you explain to us that it's koryati. But guess what? V'lo Yadin and Mayahanislan. I don't know what you helped me with, because I don't know what koryati is either, right? I remember when I was in... Rav Willig was here in camp today. He came to give a shiur. So I remember it brought back memories of my time in Moresh HaKolel. So I remember there was something like this. There was some taich word in the Gemara that Rav Willig was reading, and he was just translating it as what the word in the Gemara is. It was one of these types of herbs or something. So a guy said, what does it mean? He said, I don't know what it means. So one of the guys read the English translation. So he said, oh, okay, that. You know, no one knows what that is either, unless you know what the herb looks like, unless you know what it is. So you have no idea anyway. So he said, what did you do for me? You took a word, you translated it. I don't know the translation either. So now I did help you, because when you go to Eretz Yisrael, Amrit Lehu, you're going to tell the Niklas, you're going to tell them what Niklas is, v'lo yadi. I mean, you're going to say, I'd like to buy some Niklas, but they've never heard of Niklas. They're not going to know what you're talking about. But Amrit Lehu kriyati v'yadi, but you're going to say Kuryati, they'll know exactly what you're talking about, and they'll show you their finest Kuryati. So you will have benefited from this education that I've just given you, even though right now you cannot identify what the item is. Let's read the next mission as well. So again, items that you're not supposed to sell to an Ovid Chavim. In a place where the minig is to sell small farm animals to an Ovid Chavim, because the concern of bestiality was not a concern in those places, and therefore you're allowed to sell them small farm animals. So that's the minig. So you could assume makrin that you're allowed to sell them these things. Makom shenagu shalodim kar. If it's a place where the minig is not to sell these things because they're chashud on bestiality, then ain't makrin. Then do not sell it to them, because the it is an isser for nachri as well, and it would be a violation of lifnei velosite mechshol to give them the wherewithal to violate this avera. So ubekal makom ain't makrin them behemagasa. But wherever you are, you're not allowed to sell them behemagasa that they could do actual farm work with, because we're afraid that if you're going to sell it to them, you may come to lend it to them or to rent it to them, and the guy's going to do malacha with an animal that he's borrowing from you on Shabbos, and that's going to violate an issur called shvisas behema. Not everything that's a violation of Shabbos is a malacha of Shabbos. There are lamites malachos, but there are a few items that are usher, even though it's not a malacha. I mean, not only mitzvah, not only positive, negative, los says, but they're not a malacha. So shvisas behema, or maybe an ase, not a los ase, but it's at least it's practiced in the form of a los ase. Shvisas behema is not a malacha, but it's an iser Shabbos. So it doesn't carry with it an iser skila like the rest of the malachas of Shabbos, but it's definitely also to do. So because the guy may use your animal and work with it on Shabbos, so you're never allowed to sell a behema gasa, because you're not going to distinguish. You know, one day a guy opens up a place where he sells used cars. Next thing you know, he's also leasing. So you're going to sell these animals. Next thing you know, he's also leasing the animals. And when you're leasing the animals and they use them on Shabbos, then it's going to be aser. You also can't sell behemos gasos when they're very small, like agolim usiyachim, when they're still babies, even though right now they can't do malacha, because then you're going to sell the big ones also. And it doesn't matter shleimen ushmurin, whether they're shalim or shavur, whether they're fit for doing malacha, or they're shavur and they're not fit for doing malacha. Yeah, nevertheless, it's a low plug. The gzera just applies in all types of animals. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shvura, but Rabbi Yehuda says, no, a shvura you're allowed to sell because it can't do any malacha. And obviously, the reason the guy is buying that animal is to shecht it, and he's not going to leave it alive, and therefore there's no chashash that it's going to come to any violation of shvisa spayim or anything like that. Uben b'seira matir b'sos. Ben b'seira disagrees with the Tanakama, and he says that you're allowed to sell a horse because they wouldn't use it for avoda. They would only ride on a horse, and riding on an animal is not an issur midaraisa, so it wouldn't be a violation of shvisas behema on Shabbos. Meaning, the reason there's an issur midaraisa to ride on a horse is that you might come to pull the branch off of a tree to whack the horse to make it go faster. It's a gzera midrabanan. It's only when an animal is going to do an issur midaraisa that it would be a violation of shvisas behema. I seem to remember that Rav Zilberstein has a shail in one of his funny shilas, where he asked if a person trained their dog to hit the proper elevator button. They live in a tall building in Manhattan, and the dog knows when he goes into the elevator to jump up and hit, 22. So is that permissible? So you wonder if that might be worse than hitting the button yourself with the shinui. You hit it yourself with the shinui, it's for sure only drabanan. Shvisas behema is daraisa. So it could be that it's even worse. If that counts as shvisas behema, I think there's machlokas achronim, whether shvisus payment means farm work, that he's not allowed to do farm work for you, or it means he's not allowed to do any of the lamatas malachas. Rav Nevensal once, I saw in his commentary on Mishnah Berurah, he holds it's any malacha, that if you train your dog to turn on the lights for you, that's a violation of shvisas behema. Okay, I think I wrote about that in one of my svarim. I called the piece Amira Lekelev, right? Instead of Amira Lenachri, which is a drabanan, that Amira Lekelev might be a daraisa. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from the Gemara after the Mishnah down here. Okay, have a wonderful evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining.